Please take your Bibles this morning as we turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Looking this morning at the first 8 verses of John chapter 3. As we progress through the book of John, what does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be born again? As I dug through this, I learned a few new things that I didn't know before. A couple of those little cobwebs got ripped out of there and things got cleared up. And I really, really enjoyed some of the things I learned, and I'll be sharing them with you this morning. But let's read our text as we begin, and then we'll pray and ask God's help and direction. John 3, verses 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you the opportunity to be assembled here this morning. We know this is a divine appointment for all of us here today. We look to you to teach us from your word. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for this message. I trust and depend on you to bring it today, and I do not trust in myself, but in you totally. Asking that you would speak to our hearts, that you use this text of Scripture, that we might grow, that we might be more able to witness, and for those who may not be born again, that today would be the day that they are. We recognize that being born again is the most important decision in the world. There is nothing else more important. And yet mankind trivializes the things of God, does not take them seriously, not recognizing that there is an eternity that awaits us all. And it's so important that we are born again, that we might be with you forever and ever in heaven and not in the lake of fire, suffering forever and ever and ever. So we're trusting and depending in you for this message today. We commit it to you, our great God and our Father, and we do so in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It's always nice to hear someone out there proclaim to you that I am born again. It's something we like to hear as believers. You know, over the years we have heard presidents say, I am a born again Christian. And depending on who that is, you kind of wonder, are they really born again? I just have to wonder sometimes. And then you have people like Larry Flint, publisher of Terrible Literature. And he says that he was born again. There was an athlete or an article announcing that there are companies that are born again. They're experiencing new prosperity. Some of us here this morning remember Jim Jones, who claimed to be born again and took his followers out of this country and there led them all to commit suicide. One of the greatest biblical terms has been hijacked and dragged through the cesspool so that now the term born again can mean almost anything or nothing at all. As God's people, we need to take it back. The term born again is our term. It is God's term. It is the term of Jesus. He is the one who said that you must be born again. He didn't say, well, maybe. No, he said you must. There's only one option. Do it. Become born again. John chapter 3 verses 1 through 8 records this powerful conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ and Nicodemus, in which the Lord Jesus himself, who is God, explains the non-negotiables about the true born-again experience. That brings us to our first point, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler. In John chapter 3, here in verse number 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Everything in that verse that is given to us is very, very important. You know, one of the hallmarks of being a Pharisee is the fact that they were very, very serious about their religion. They were not nonchalant about their faith. I mean, they were into it. Hook, line, and sinker. It was all there. And they were so serious about their religion that on the Sabbath day, they would carry no more food than the weight of a dried fig and no more liquid than what would give you one gulp. That's how serious they were about their faith. They were so serious, but they also got themselves into some pretty ridiculous situations, like this one. They were not allowed to tie a knot in a rope on the Sabbath, but the women were allowed to tie a knot in their sash. So, if the man wanted to grab a bucket and throw it down in the well and get some water, he could take his wife's sash and tie a knot around the handle, throw it in, and pull out some water. Is that ridiculous or what? But that is how serious they were about. We also see that they're always looking for loopholes. And a lot of religious people are like that too, aren't they? They're always looking for a loophole. And it's just the way it is. They were nuts, but they were desperately fervent in their faith. Now, Nicodemus was one of these people. He was a Pharisee. He was a member of the ruling council, a member of the Sanhedrin. He was also one of the greatest teachers in Jerusalem. Keep that in mind as we go along. One of the greatest teachers, one of the most knowledgeable men in Jerusalem. And upon reading the account here, one could reason that Nicodemus was a dope, or he just was ignorant. And we want to dispel that this morning. He was not. In fact, the very opposite is true. And this made for a great opportunity for the Lord Jesus Christ to give this dynamic explanation of what it means to be born again to this extremely intelligent Pharisee and ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus. Nicodemus is about to have the greatest meeting of his life. That brings us to our second point this morning. Nicodemus meets Jesus in verse number 2 and 3. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus goes to meet Jesus at night. He comes very, very respectfully. He uses the honored term, Rabbi. He's been watching the Lord Jesus. He has seen what he can do. and he is really interested in what's going on. And so he comes and he is prepared to have a great discussion of ideas with this young rabbi, this teacher, this miracle worker. And so in our text here, the Lord Jesus, he goes straight to the heart of the matter. In a glorious instant, the vocabulary of our faith was given one of its greatest concepts, the term born again. So Jesus confronts Nicodemus with this high thought, knowing that he was no dummy. Nicodemus knew what was going on and understood what Jesus was saying, even though in our English Bible it almost sounds like he really doesn't know what's going on, but he does. Well, how did he know that? Well, the rabbis had a saying, a proselyte who embraces Judaism is like a newborn child. He understood that. All things were thought to be completely new, and the old things were swept away. They were gone. They were destroyed. And upon hearing Jesus' words, he knew what he was saying. And that brings us to our third and most important point this morning, number three, Nicodemus and Jesus' serious discussion. Nicodemus and Jesus' serious discussion in verses 4-8. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? This is where we might be tempted to get the idea that Nicodemus, you know, really didn't understand a whole lot. Jesus answered, verily, verily, say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is a powerful thing. And Jesus compares it here to the wind, which you feel its effect, but you cannot see it. You don't know where it's coming from. It changes its direction. It's just the power of God. So here in point number three, we have a serious discussion. Jesus and Nicodemus are now mind to mind. We have two men in the dark, in the night, on a city street, a narrow city street, and they are fellowshipping together, teacher to teacher. And Nicodemus was not ignorantly suggesting in his reply that there's some sort of weird gynecological miracle. He was verbalizing a deep sense of longing here in verse number 4. Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He had a longing in his heart. He came to Jesus to learn. He came to Jesus for a reason. He didn't just come to chit-chat on the street. He was there for a serious purpose. And he basically said to Jesus, I'm going to rewrite this, okay? You talk about being born again. You talk about that radical, fundamental change that is so necessary, but what I question is how. There's nothing I would like more. But you might as well tell me that as a full-grown man, I need to go back inside my mother's womb and be born all over again. Oh, how I long for the new birth. Oh, how I desire that. That is basically what he was saying here in verse number 4. Now, lots of people on this earth desire change in their life. And there are all kinds of shingles hanging out where you can go and sit down with some kind of therapist and try and come up with a change that you think needs to be made in your life. Well, that's not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is talking about being born again. But for so many people, being born again is as difficult as going back into our mother's womb. And therefore, you have most of the people in the world lost and on their way to hell, and ultimately the lake of fire, where they will suffer forever and ever because they are rejecting what Jesus says in His Word. It's interesting how this works. Now, you might be here this morning and you're like Nicodemus today. You want to know, but how does it really happen? Well, verse number 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Nicodemus was well aware that John the Baptist was out there baptizing people. And he was baptizing people in water, symbolizing their inward repentance. There's a big word we need to understand. Repentance. It is a part of being born again. Nicodemus understood that no one is born again without repentance. He got that. And along with repentance comes a work of the Holy Spirit in the heart in which we believe what Jesus says in the Bible concerning Himself. We believe that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, that He shed His blood there, His perfect blood, for the remission, the payment for our sin, and we believe that He rose again from the grave, as the Scriptures say and teach and tell us that that is what the gospel is all about. These are the non-negotiables of being born again. We have all kinds of polls out there that are feel-good polls about Christianity, such as this. 39.5 million Americans claim to have asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. 1 in 5 adults say that they are evangelical Christians. If this was really true, there would not be such an increase in the sin and the perversion in our country. It would be going away. But it's not. It's getting worse and worse. If 1 in 5 Americans were communists, within a few years, we would be a communist nation. If 1 in 5 people were really genuinely born again, we would soon have a born-again country. But we don't. Why is this so strange? Why is this going on? Well, there is an incredible ignorance going on within the church in America. Why do I say that? Because 3 in 10 evangelicals don't believe the devil is a personal being. Hello? They must not have been to church for a while and haven't been reading their Bibles. Only 6 in 10 respondents could say that the term born again was told by Jesus to Nicodemus. They don't even know the story of John chapter 3. Now follow me on this. If they are ignorant on this, it follows that the moral and ethical teachings of Scripture are even less understood. We have a very, very bad problem in America today. The problem with a lot of folks who profess to be born again is that they know nothing of repentance. There's a famous guy on TV with a great big church and wavy hair and fluttering eyelashes. And he says this. He says, just let Jesus come into your life. Listen, folks, that is not being born again. There's no repentance in that at all. And you know what? I'm going to give an account to Jesus one day about what I preach here, and so is he. The church in America is very, very ignorant of the Scriptures and what the Scriptures mean. And that is a huge, huge problem. There are large numbers of people who say that they are born again, but they are not. And of course, when unbelievers look at that, and they see these people, and they say, well, this guy claims to be born again, but look how he's living. Look at the sin in his life. If that's born again, I really don't need that. I'm pretty good. I'm better than they are. I don't need that. So part of the new birth or being born again is repentance. Now, look what Jesus says here. Jesus said that unless one is born of water, born of repentance, it is impossible to enter the kingdom of God. Repentance involves a change of mind, a change of heart. For example, as a Christian who was saved out of alcoholism, drinking alcohol is no longer fashionable. It is now repulsive. Because repentance involves a change of mind. I've changed my mind on this because of the work of God in my life, the work of the Holy Spirit. When I believed in Jesus as my Savior, I trusted in Him, acknowledged my sin. He did a work in me, and I am different. So salvation involves a change of mind, and it involves a change of action. I no longer drink Saturday night. I prepare my heart for church tomorrow morning. There's a change that takes place. Being born again is a radical change that takes place in a person's life whereby through repentance and a work of the Holy Spirit, I am given a new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, in, you know, it's better than prego. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are gone. And all the good things are coming in now. That's what happens when a person is born again. The radical change in your life comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, not through self-effort. Look at verse number 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Even those who are born again know that we have the old nature still residing in our life. The flesh is always wanting to get its way. And our flesh and our mind, which is part of our flesh, thinks bad thoughts, evil things, every day, all day. You know, we are reminded very quickly that we're sinners. All you got to do is rewind the tape and see where you were thinking today or yesterday. What was coming into your mind and didn't even want it to come, but there it is. The flesh produces sin. And the Holy Spirit produces a new life and way of thinking and way of living. Someone who is genuinely born again, there is a change that takes place in their life. Look at verse number 7. Marvel not, Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. There is no evolution from flesh to spirit. You must be born again. You must realize that you're a sinner and repent of your sin. You must have a change of mind about that sin. When Jesus says you must, you better listen. He's the one who's going to judge at the end. No one will be there to save you. You had better done what Jesus said, be born again. So being born again or saved means that you repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Verse number 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in that street in Jerusalem on that evening, perhaps the wind was blowing down that street. And Jesus used it, as he always used whatever's around him, as an illustration. You can see the wind's effect, but not the wind itself. Sometimes the wind of the Holy Spirit is a raging power. And sometimes the wind of the Holy Spirit is a gentle breeze. The wind of the Holy Spirit on that evening was roaring for Nicodemus. True salvation changes your life. You repent of your sin. You change your mind about it. You believe the gospel. You repent and you believe the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, the first four verses, give a concise account of what the gospel is that you must believe. Apostle Paul, who the most incredible and powerful missionary ever, says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand." Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." There's the first thing that Jesus says you have to believe. And then verse number 4, "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." There's a second thing that you have to believe. To be born again, you must repent of your sin, and you must believe the gospel. You must believe that Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, died on that cross, shed his blood to pay for your sin, and you must believe that he rose again from the grave. He did not just die for your sin, he rose from the grave. If he didn't rise from the grave, we're all done, let's go home. You see, the resurrection was the icing on the cake. The cross was the cake, and the resurrection was the icing and the candles and all the special stuff you want to throw on top. It was a whole package, and you have to believe it. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it tells us, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We've all sinned. We're all filthy, rotten, wicked sinners. Every single one of us. Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love, he showed it, he demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He died for us, you and me. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but possess everlasting life." Romans 10:9, 10, and 13, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead." What is Paul doing here? He is telling us again what the gospel is and what you must believe. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," shall be born again. John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Once we're saved, we are changed. Once we're born again, life starts to be a lot different than it used to be. And then Jesus says this in John chapter 10, 27 through 29. This is talking about us after we're saved, after we're born again. Jesus says this. You see, when you're saved, when you're born again, you become a son of God. And Jesus says here in John 10, 27, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." You see, there's the difference between a confessor, the one who says but isn't living it. You see, there's the difference. They are not hearing the voice, and God doesn't know them, and they're not following the Lord. They're just living like they always did. They might have said, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, but it didn't mean a thing. And by the way, that's not evangelism, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. That is not evangelism. And then Jesus goes on to say about those who trust Him as Savior, "And I give unto them eternal life." That's the most important thing in this whole world, is that you have eternal life. There is nothing. Dinner in a little while is not important. It is just not. "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Never perish. No, not ever. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them to Me, is greater than all, and no one can pluck them out of My Father's hand." And as believers, as I said earlier in the message, we're still a bunch of filthy, rotten, wicked sinners, but we're saved by grace. What do we do about that sin? 1 John 1:9 is the answer. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once you're born again, that is something that you do a lot during the day. You wake up doing it. You do it in the morning. You do it in the afternoon several times. You do it in the evening. You do it when you hit the pillow. You confess your sin to God, to the Father. And He cleanses you. The Bible promises us that right here in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. No one looking around. Just a meeting with you and God, just like Nicodemus had a meeting with the Lord Jesus. You may be here today and you say, I am not. I don't know what that is to be born again. I have not repented of my sin. I have not believed the gospel. My life is the same as it's always been. I don't see any change at all. And you say, but I'm here today and I've heard the gospel. I understand that, and I want to accept Christ. I want to believe that. I want to do what Jesus said. Jesus said, "You must be born again." Maybe you're here today and you say, "That's me. I want to be born again." If that's you today, you want to be born again today, would you just lift your head up and look at me? Just raise your head and look at me right now. You say, "I'm not born again, but I want to be born again today." Maybe you're here today as a believer and you say, "You know, I'm born again, but I need to do a better job of witnessing for my Savior. I realize time is running out and that Jesus is coming soon. I need strength and power to be a better witness. Tell the Lord that right now as you sit there this morning. Let Him know you want to be a better witness. Ask Him to help you to do that. You can take John 3, 1-8 to somebody and win them to Christ. It's all there. Maybe you say, I'm a believer today, but I'm just not fired up enough about my Christian life as I ought to be. I need to get renewed. I need to be revived. Do business with God right now. Let Him know that. That's your desire. Nicodemus had a desire to know the truth. And we know that he came to know the truth. He was born again. And he was a big participant in the burial of our Savior. Our Father in heaven, we commit the results of the hour into your hands. Father, we ask as believers that you would help us to carry the cross these days. Father, we need your help. We need the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through us to open our lips. And we know as we do that, you will fill our hearts with what we need to say. The verses will come that we need. The concepts that we need will come from the Holy Spirit. And so we do pray. We're living in the last days, Father. We know that. And we ask that we would be invigorated in our service for you to see others come to know Christ as their Savior. We give you praise, give you thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.